Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Funeral plans being set for former President Jimmy Carter. The state funeral is January 9th at National Cathedral in Washington. It will also be a national day of mourning. Update on the deadly explosive South Korean jetliner crash in South Korea, ABC's Britt Clenett.
They're looking at the black boxes, although they were partially damaged. We do know that it could take weeks before we get any kind of result on that. There will be some time, and it is an agonizing wait for the relatives. A lot of frustration over what exactly went wrong, and they will be demanding answers very soon.
179 people killed. The World Health Organization is marking 5 years since the first notice of cases of viral pneumonia in Wuhan, China. It became COVID-19. The WHO continues to call on China to share data and access so health and medical experts can understand how COVID started. These 5 years, over 1.2 million Americans died from it. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Gas Buddy will release its 2025 fuel price outlook tomorrow. In the meantime, Melissa Kay tells us what we're seeing in gas prices as we close out 2024.
Gas prices fell again last week, dropping 5.9 cents per gallon for an average of 2.75 across the state. This is 2.7 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 5.7 cents higher than this time last year. 2024 marks the second year in a row of declining prices on the national level as we close out the year. We may see some hikes at gas stations over the next week in our area. Officials at Gas Buddy expect another price cycle in the Great Lakes region, but overall, the national average should remain mostly stable.
Gas is averaging $2.74 a gallon in Appleton and $2.69 a gallon in Green Bay. A Brilliant man was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries after he rolled his vehicle multiple times early Sunday morning. Outagamie County Sheriff's officials say the 26-year-old was driving in the town of Buchanan when he lost control of his vehicle, went off the road into a ditch, and rolled several times. The man walked to a nearby house to get help. Officials believe poor weather conditions, alcohol, and speed may have contributed to the accident. The Wrightstown Community School Superintendent Andy Space has announced his early retirement. The Wrightstown Board of Education says the retirement comes amid allegations about superintendent contractual matters, school purchases, open meetings law issues, legal counsel issues, and board and staff relations. Space will leave at the end of the first semester on January 17th. The Board of Education will appoint an interim superintendent. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Packers fall short in Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, but came up short, losing to the Vikings at US Bank Stadium 27-25. Green Bay swept this season by both the Lions and the Vikings. Do the Packers still think they're on the same level as those teams? Green Bay safety Xavier McKinney.
I want to say yeah, but right now the story is we haven't beat those teams. So I can't sit up here and say, yeah, we're on the same level if we ain't beat them.
Vikings finished 7-1 at home this season. Quarterback Sam Darnold.
You know, we executed at a high level. You know, obviously a lot of things to correct, but overall, man, it was a great team effort, obviously against a really, really good Packers team.
So the Vikings face the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. The Packers will host the Bears Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey, Wisconsin beating UConn 4-3 to win the title in the holiday faceoff over the weekend at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the last time we'll see the sunshine this year. With partly sunny skies today, we'll become mostly cloudy by tonight, with more areas of dense fog. High temperatures today stay mild, tapping the upper 30s, and tonight slide below freezing to the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
Wisconsin Spice in Berlin is a proud sponsor of Music of the Stars, New Year's Eve Spectacular, with host Lou Rugani, ringing in the new year from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for you.
Oh, the worst.
Wow. You would talk like that.
Like this. Absolutely.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
All right, all right. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Yeah, I got it. Yes, not quite Maggie Dawn, but it is Earl Ingram. And good afternoon to you, Brother Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, I am feeling good. It's good to have you on the show today, man. Guest hosting for Maggie today, man.
Thank you. It's good to finally be able to connect with you, brother.
Hey, for sure. Likewise, man.
You know, there's so much that I want to talk about, and welcome to the audience of Maggie Dawn. I'm honored and privileged to have this opportunity, and especially in a day and a time like this. I am going to spend this entire show talking about the life and legacy of a man that I not only admired, but a man who lived his life in a manner that very few did. I'm talking about the one and only Jimmy Carter. Really, James Earl Carter Jr., the former president of the United States. I'm a man who was blessed enough to have lived my life at the time that Jimmy Carter was moving on this earth. And the things that he accomplished, we're going to go through some aspects of this man's life that will astound you. Because he was such a humble man, a servant, a man who dedicated his life to service. Look, I'm a servant myself, and so I admire what this man did and the impact that he had on so many people's lives. You know, people talk about I'm a Christian, and they profess it from their mouths, but very few do that in actions. Jimmy Earl Carter Jr. did just that. He was married to his childhood sweetheart, Rosalind Carter, for 78 years. Did you hear that? 78 years committed to his wife. And we're going to go through a whole lot of history about this man. I don't think there's anything more that I wanted to discuss during Maggie's show than to tell you about the impact that he had on my life. You know, not what I read in a book, but what I saw. And the fact that he was given the longevity of life, 100 years. 100 years. He was rewarded for a job well done. Now, there are people who say some horrific things about Jimmy Carter. But those people who say horrific things about Jimmy Carter didn't know anything at all about him. And after we're done today, I hope that those of you who haven't known much about him other than he was the former president of the United States and a man who, after his presidency in 4 years, dedicated the remainder of his life, him and his wife, to serving all over the world. People who are considered nondescript. He never saw a nondescript person in his life. You know who he patterned his life after? You know, Jesus. He actually tried to live his life predicated on what Christ would have us do. Now, you may not be a Christian in this audience. And, you know, but those who are know what the definition of a Christian is. It's one who's willing to submit his will to do the will of, you know, Christ. And so that's who Jimmy Carter was. So we're going to go, you know, down this journey for the next 2 hours. And I hope that you get something out of this man who was blessed, but more than anything else, he blessed others and was able to, even in the face. Here's a man who some people say, well, he was a peanut farmer. Yeah, he was clearly that. But he was much more than a peanut farmer. When I run down the accomplishments of Jimmy Carter, you will be absolutely amazed. Here's 10 little-known facts about former President Jimmy Carter. Peanut farmer. Entering politics, Carter was a successful peanut farmer in his hometown of Plains, Georgia, following his service in the U.S. Navy. He returned to farming after his father's death in 1953 to save the family farm from financial difficulties. But did you also know he was a naval nuclear engineer? Carter was trained as a nuclear engineer in the U.S. Navy under Admiral Hyman Rickover. He was part of a team that helped develop the U.S. Navy's nuclear submarine program. Bet you didn't know that. First president born in a hospital. Jimmy Carter was the first U.S. president to be born in a hospital on October 1st, 1924 at Wise Sanitarium in Plains, Georgia. Jimmy Carter was a speed reader. Carter was a speed reader capable of reading several hundred words per minute. He has used this skill throughout his life to absorb large amounts of information quickly. He was the author of more than 30 books. Carter was a prolific author, having written over 30 books on a variety of topics, including politics, religion, human rights, and his personal life. His memoirs and reflections have won critical acclaim. He's the first president to live in public housing. As a child, Carter lived in public housing. His family moved into government-subsidized housing for workers in Plains, Georgia, when his father managed a farm. Amnesty for Vietnam veterans draft evaders. On his first day in office, Carter granted amnesty to thousands of men who had evaded the draft during the Vietnam War, a highly controversial but principled decision aimed at national healing. That was kind of the beginning. I remember all of this, of what kind of man he really was, because he took on to do what he did in offering amnesty to those thousands of men who didn't go to the Vietnam War, especially in face of the fact that 10,000 or more men lost their lives in the Vietnam War. He kind of showed what kind of man he was. Skilled woodworker. Carter was an accomplished woodworker and carpenter. He often crafted furniture and even built some of the furniture in his own home. His woodworking skills align with his lifelong commitment to manual labor, especially through his work with Habitat for Humanity. Beekeeper. Carter took up beekeeping after leaving the White House. He tended to a number of hives on his property and advocated for environmental protection and bee conservation. Cancer survivor. In 2015, at the age of 90, Carter was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma that had spread to his brain and liver. Remarkably, after undergoing treatment, Carter announced later that year that he was cancer-free. Here are 10 unusual more facts about Jimmy Carter. Speed walker. Carter was known for his unusual hobby of speed walking. Even while president, he often walked at a fast pace for exercise, sometimes covering up to 3 miles in 45 minutes. First president to be sworn in using a nickname. Carter's full name is James Earl Carter Jr., but he was sworn in as president using his nickname Jimmy, which is rare for U.S. presidents who typically use their full legal names during inauguration. Unusual energy-saving measure. As a sign of his commitment to energy conservation, Carter famously installed solar panels on the White House in 1979. Taught Sunday school during his presidency. While in office, Carter often taught Sunday school at his Baptist church in Plains, Georgia. This unusual activity for a sitting president reflects his deep religious faith and humble backgrounds. Sent a message to aliens. He had a sense of humor as well. First president to graduate from a public high school. Carter was the first U.S. president to graduate from a public high school. He attended Plains High School in Georgia, a relatively modest background compared to the private school education of many other presidents. 855-752-4842. This show, and I'm filling in for the one and only Maggie Dawn. My name is Earl Ingram. It's dedicated to the life and legacy of one Mr. Jimmy Carter.
You got about 40 seconds left.
Oh, okay. And let me say this. Expert fly fisherman. Carter was an expert fly fisherman and enjoyed the sport passionately. Navy reactor emergency response. In 1952, Carter helped disassemble and repair nuclear reactors that had partially melted down. More next on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
This holiday season, Bank First is grateful for the trust and support of our community throughout 2024. Together, we've built brighter futures, stronger neighborhoods, and lasting connections. As we look ahead to the new year, we remain dedicated to providing exceptional service and being your partner in success. From all of us at Bank First, we wish you a joyful holiday season and a prosperous 2025. Learn more about how we're here for you at bankfirst.com. That's bankfirst.com. Member FDIC.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Earl Ingram, sitting in for Maggie Dawn, and I do a Motown Monday on my show. So if you're wondering what the music is and what it's going to be for this 2 hours, it's going to be Earl Ingram doing the Motown Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show. So, if you're just joining us, I have said that I'm going to dedicate this entire show to the life and legacy of one, Mr. Jimmy Carter. And I just got through reading some of the things, it's too numerous to talk about Jimmy Carter. But I do remember having read a book, one of his books, back in 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. It was called Our Endangered Values. Jimmy Carter was such a heartfelt man that even though he was considered, he wasn't a pauper by any stretch of the imagination, he could have lived a life of ease. The peanut farm was successful. And so he didn't have to live in that environment. But he did, because things and money did not define him. Service defined him. And let me just quickly, a couple passages from this book, and then we'll go to the phone lines. Our Endangered Values, America's Moral Crises. This he wrote in 2006. It's could be written today, because we still face these very same things that he was talking about then. In Our Endangered Values, Jimmy Carter offers a personal consideration of moral values, which for the most part, we struggle with in this nation. That's me adding that. As they relate to the important issues of the day, He puts forward a passionate defense of separation of church and state and a strong warning about where the country is headed as the lines between politics and rigid religious fundamentalism are blurred. He was so far ahead of the game because today religious fundamentalism is infiltrated throughout this nation. And that separation of church and state that he warned about is here and causing and wreaking havoc because people didn't pay attention to him. Carter described his reaction to recent disturbing societal trends that involve both religious and political worlds as they increasingly intertwine and include some of the most crucial and controversial issues of the day. Many of these matters are under fierce debate. They include preemptive war, women's rights, terrorism, civil liberties, homosexuality, abortion, the death penalty, science and religion, environmental degradation, nuclear arsenals, America's global image, fundamentalism, and the melding of religion and politics. That's exactly what we've been fighting about this last election. It hasn't changed. He warned us about it. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to you, Mark. How you doing, sir?
And I appreciate the Motown coming in because when my
Mark, you're on the air.
Back, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can remember the Motown. I can remember back in college, my college girlfriend. We danced frequently to Three Times a Lady by the Commodores.
That yes, sir.
Something I always remember her when I hear that song. But I mean, I really appreciate the whole thing on, you know, the fundamentalism that's creeping in. That what's ironic there is the reason there those various faiths and denominations have been allowed to flourish in this country is simply because we have freedom of religion in this country and freedom from religion. Because if we were going under the rules prior to our revolution, we'd all still be paying tithe to the Church of England, for goodness sake. I mean, that, and what annoys me even more is that the embrace of the Ayn Rand philosophy in a lot of these churches, that you're just supposed to be looking out for yourself and those who are just closest to you, rather than Jesus's admonition in Matthew 25, I think 25:31, that we're supposed to be taking care of each other. We're supposed to be clothing the naked. We're supposed to be feeding the hungry. We're supposed to be welcoming in the stranger. We're supposed to be taking care of those in our prisons. We're supposed to be providing shelter for one another. And that's the big admonition. They're not being, you know, making sure you're heard when you're praying, because he warned against that, about the be not like the hypocrites. That's, you know, that philosophy is something even an atheist or agnostic can embrace. We're supposed to be looking after one another, just our fellow man.
I mean, well, you know, Mark, the thing about Jimmy Carter is here's a man that became president of the United States and didn't compromise those views and those values.
First man I voted for president in 1976, when my first chance to vote for president was Jimmy Carter. I voted for him in 1982 because I thought Ronald Reagan was a scoundrel, and he, to put it mildly, that wonderful man, Jimmy Carter was a wonderful man through his whole life. I mean, he may have lusted in his heart.
Hey, Mark, we're certainly going to continue the conversation. The legacy, the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter. I'm Earl Ingram sitting in for Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. I'm happy that she gave me this opportunity. We're going to continue to talk about the legacy of this great man. Hopefully he'll never be forgotten on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Holiday season is normally seen as a joyful time of year to see family and friends, but some people are experiencing loneliness and grief. How do you act around, or what do you say to someone who is grieving? I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll talk about it next.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Susan Springer is the founder of Suicide Prevention of Southwest Wisconsin. She has some advice on how to approach someone who is grieving during the holidays.
Don't try to minimize it like, oh, you know, it'll be fine in a couple years, or your grief will go away, you'll get back to normal. Don't minimize it. But just, you can even say, I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm here for you. You can give them a hug. It's simple as that. If that's something that your relationship would allow, you can give them a hug or a pat on the back. But just keep including them in things. Because as a person that lost and is grieving, you feel awkward too.
Susan Springer, along with us from Suicide Prevention of Southwest Wisconsin. She also reminds us to check on people in your life who don't have family around or who are suffering from a loss. If you know someone who is experiencing a crisis, the National Suicide Hotline is 988. Stick around for a look at more agribusiness news coming your way.
Attend Dairy Strong and help celebrate the Dairy Business Association's 25th anniversary with a special reception the evening of January 16th in Green Bay. Dairy Strong is a must-attend event for everyone in dairy, bringing together forward-thinking farmers and ag professionals to tackle the most significant issues today. The conference, January 15th and 16th, is filled with innovation, collaboration, and excitement. Wrapping up with the reception January 16th. Register at dairystrong.org.
Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter passed away yesterday at the age of 100. Carter served as the 39th president of the United States from 1977 to 1981, and upon his death, he was the longest living former American president in our nation's history. In 2002, President Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The American and Wisconsin flags will fly at half staff across the state for 30 days following the death of a former president. In case you missed it, our top story last week heads to a Wisconsin farm to explore hunt clubs and historic tractors. You can listen to the story at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the last time we'll see the sunshine this year. With partly sunny skies today, will become mostly cloudy by tonight, with more areas of dense fog. High temperatures today stay mild, tapping the upper 30s, and tonight slide below freezing to the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Ooh,
yes, this is the ghetto. Shown up now.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Earl Ingram. I'm guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. And listen, I do a thing every Monday called Motown Monday. So I brought my music with me. And I have dedicated this 2 hours to the life and legacy of a great man, former President Jimmy Carter. There's nowhere I'd rather be right now than having a chance to witness one of the greatest servants that ever lived. That's who Jimmy Carter was. And so because people don't know, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He'll go down in history as not a great president. But you know what? We're going to cover some things that Jimmy Carter did as a president that many presidents wish they could have accomplished. He did some marvelous things as a president, even though he was criticized and ridiculed. In 1985, the Iran-Contra crisis will forever be, you know, stamped on Jimmy Carter and, you know, the hostages that were taken. And I never will forget, it's probably when I first, as a young man, really paid any attention to who Jimmy Carter was. And so there were hostages held by Iran. And American hostages. And the nation was wreaking just havoc on President Carter to do something. Do something. Rescue the hostages. And he was receiving so much pressure from the right. And so instead of, he spent three nights, and then we'll forget this, in the White House, sleeping on the couch, trying to negotiate to get those hostages freed. And it wasn't going very well. You may remember this if you've been around as long as I have, but if you haven't, this is the story. And look it up for yourself. And he was pressed into a rescue attempt of those hostages in Iran. I never will forget it. And so he sent, the military devised a rescue plan, and former President Jimmy Carter agreed to it, and they sent a couple helicopters in the desert where, you know, back in 1985, the technology certainly wasn't what it is today. And so two helicopters crashed with American soldiers who were part of the rescue mission. And Jimmy Carter cried for 24 hours. You may say, what a weak man. Which is what the society said. He's too weak to be the president of the United States. But what they didn't see and what Jimmy Carter had to say was those men who lost their lives had families and loved ones and children. And it was one of the worst times in the history of his life. He wept. He wept for 24 hours because he was talked into that mission. It failed. But again, his weeping was because of the loss of life. Let me do this. Our phone lines open at 855-752-4842. You know, I'm going to do this with or without you. I know the story, and I can talk about it for the next 24 hours because I know the quality of what that man was. Jimmy Carter led the clean-up maintenance crew that managed the nuclear meltdown in one of the experimental NRX reactors of the Atomic Energy of Canada. During the salvage exercise, he drew on all the years of experience he had with the U.S. Navy's nuclear submarine program. Carter and the cleanup crew literally put their lives in harm's way as they tried to clean radioactive water that had flooded the reactor's basement. Carter was very apprehensive about the development of the neutron bomb during his presidency, owing to the horrific conditions he witnessed at Chalk River Laboratories Atomic Energy in Canada. Jimmy Carter was a champion of racial integration in schools in America. The passion of his was seen beginning around the 1950s when he encouraged his community to be more tolerant and accepting of racial integration. Following the U.S. Supreme Court case Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954, Carter lobbied very hard to get folks in Plains, Georgia, to accept the court's rulings. He used his position on the Sumter County School Board to propagate this message very effectively. As a member of the state of Georgia Senate between 1963 and 1967, Jimmy Carter was involved in a host of social and economic programs. For example, he served as the chairman of the West Central Georgia Planning and Development Commission, where he was responsible for distributing federal and state grants to a number of social initiatives. In his second term, he was briefly chairman of the Education Committee, where he successfully secured funding for four-year programs at his alma mater, Georgia Southwestern College. Let's go to Tom from Madison. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to you, Tom. I'm used to doing the morning show.
Hey,
so I'm
good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I was just remembering Jimmy Carter is just such an amazing callback. It's kind of a slap in the face to wake you up to see just how horribly things have gone in the MAGA world that we can even suggest having something like Trump as president. When you compare it to men who had
character,
honor, who had
character,
character, exactly. So thank you for doing this today, and please go on, because there are millions of people younger than us who have no idea about Jimmy Carter and have no idea what the presidency of the United States used to look like.
You know, Tom, I am going to continue this for the entire duration of the show, and it's nowhere near enough to talk about the accomplishments of this great man. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. En route to becoming the 76th governor of Georgia, Jimmy Carter defeated Carl Sanders at the Democratic primary. He went on to defeat Republican George Wallace at the 1970 gubernatorial election. As governor, he was at the forefront of so many initiatives that tackled racial discrimination. Time magazine even featured him in a cover illustration describing him as the new face of the progressiveness in the South. Although very frustrating to the Georgia Senate, he earned the admiration of Georgians for refusing to partake in political favors and backslapping. He embarked on a restructuring program of the state government in order to reduce costs. He is credited with comprising over 300 state agencies into a little bit fewer than 30. Carter also promoted human rights in the state by establishing Georgia Human Rights Council to tackle issues such as police brutality and other prison reforms. Let's go to Dick from Madison. Good morning. Good afternoon to you, Dick. Long time no hear from.
Great show, Earl. Yeah, the integrity, the dignity, the honesty, everything about him, and then what we've morphed to now is just pathetic. Here's a guy, you know, everything you brought up is immensely interesting. I mean, I'm the same age as you. I remember him when he went to 2 or 3 Mile Island, And with his background, you weren't going to pull the wool over his eyes. And I could see it, the look of the people that were touring or taking him through the plant. And if you would have moved forward another year and a half to Reagan, they could have told that man anything and he would have believed it. And by the way, too, the hostage thing was extended illegally.
Yes.
By Reagan. And that's just so out of line what he did to keep that. And then they were released on Inauguration Day right after he was inaugurated.
You know, the contrast between that man and his time as the president of the United States and his morals. He is without question, I'll tell you, two men come to mind in my life that took the moral high ground more so than any others. That's Dr. Martin Luther King and Jimmy Carter. And people may say they may not mention Jimmy Carter, but that's because they don't know anything about Jimmy Carter. They don't know anything about the accomplishments of this man and what he did.
One other thing. Can you just imagine? He was ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
You think about the things he was trying to do. Think where we'd be on climate change if we would have followed his lead.
He was brilliant.
He was already on that. Yeah, he was.
He was absolutely brilliant, and people laughed at him. And even today they make mockery of him because they say, well, he wasn't very smart. He was one of the worst presidents we ever had. Well, that's because people don't know. And it's the reason that I'm going to take this time and go through part of the legacy of that great man. You know, I'm not expecting to change the minds of people who don't know anything about him. You know, if they can read, they certainly can find out because the information is there. I challenge those in this listening audience who condemn that man, who follow what they hear from Republican talking heads, to read for themselves and see that they won't find another president in the history of this nation that ever accomplished most of the things that Jimmy Carter did and was as a humanitarian. He was a humanitarian first and last. Hey, Dick, thank you very much for the call. As Georgia's governor, Jimmy Carter vetoed a very controversial plan by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to build a dam on the Flint River in Georgia. Riding on campaign themes of optimism, change, and equality, Carter secured a good win against incumbent President Gerald Ford in 1976 presidential election. The Ford administration struggled to shake up the fallout from the Watergate scandal of President Richard Nixon, hence providing a comfortable win for the Democrats. In his first few days in office, Carter issued a presidential pardon, Proclamation 4483, to all Vietnam War veterans. I told you about that. In a televised speech on April 18, 1977, President Jimmy Carter announced to the nation that there was an energy crisis. His speech was not to alarm people, but was intended to encourage the nation to use energy efficiency. He also called on major players in the industry to explore new technology and other forms of renewable energy. Carter hoped that all of these initiatives would instill a culture of energy conservation in the United States. That was in 1977. And Joe Biden and others tried to continue that, and yet it was dismissed. You tuned in to Earl Ingram, guest hosting for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to keep riding this horse. 855-752-4842 is the number.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor. Ready to revamp your life? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss is here to guide you. Experience the convenience of telemedicine appointments and medication delivery, making your health journey hassle-free. Experiencing weight gain, fatigue, or loss of libido? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss offers customized solutions to help you feel your best. Discover Semaglutide, a breakthrough in weight loss for just $300 a month. Visit RevampHRT.com or call 920-659-0249 to unlock your potential.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. It was an itsy-bitsy, yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
To the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Earl Ingram, guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. You know, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Listen, it's Monday. I do a Motown Monday on my show from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday at 540 AM WAUK. So you can hear all those great, you know, songs from Motown and back during my time. You know, I'm talking about the life and legacy of one Mr. James Earl Carter, Jr. You know him as the 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter. Listen to some of these things. Jimmy Carter is credited with establishing the Department of Energy. I bet you didn't know that. Using the Department of Energy Organization Act in 1977, he signed the act on August 4th, 1977, as part of his efforts to arrest the U.S. energy crisis of the 1970s. The department was tasked with coming up with and implementing energy policies. His efforts were also complemented by the Carter Energy legislation, which was passed by Congress on October 15, 1978. The legislation lifted a number of regulations in the industry, including areas concerning the sale of natural gas, price control, and tax credits to consumers that use energy judiciously. Carter was instrumental in getting the Camp David Accords across the finish line, something that many presidents before him had attempted. But you won't hear people telling you about this. They'll give you all sorts of things. Well, you know, he didn't agree with Israel. You know, wasn't true. But anyway, he was instrumental in getting the Camp David Accords across the finish line. The political agreement saw Middle East countries, Egypt and Israel, bury the hatchet after more than three decades of hostilities. The agreement, which was facilitated by Jimmy Carter, saw Egypt's Anwar Sadat and Israel's Prime Minister Menachem Begin meet up at the country retreat for the U.S. President Camp David. It remains unknown what negotiations took place during those 12 days in September 1978 at Camp David. However, Carter was able to convince the two leaders to sign the 1979 Egypt-Israel Peace Treaty in Washington, D.C. The treaty went a long way in defusing the Arab-Israeli conflict in the region. Egypt thus became the first Arab state to accept Israel's statehood and its right to exist. A very monumental and prominent idea that Jimmy Carter was able to get done. Both leaders of Egypt and Israel, Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister Menachem Begin, were awarded the 1978 Nobel Peace Prize for the peace treaty brokered by Jimmy Carter at Camp David. President Carter dialogued with the Soviet Union in an effort to get both countries to halt nuclear testing for an agreed period of time. He was very particular about stopping nuclear tests done underground or in the air. Carter and his advisors struck a deal with the Soviets to demilitarize the Indian Ocean. On January 18, 1979, Carter and Soviet leaders Leonid Brezhnev signed the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, the SALT II Treaty, that was then discontinued in the first term of Donald Trump. He just did away with the SALT II Treaty, his first term. He established the Carter Center in 1982 to champion human rights across the globe. This nonprofit organization remains a very relevant body to this day, fighting for economic equality, social justice, and women's rights. It is the presence in over 100 countries where it often serves election observers. And so Jimmy Carter, his deregulation in the beer industry enabled people to home brew as they could buy materials needed. Prior to that, it was illegal to sell malt, yeast, and hops to home breweries. This created more jobs in the industry. Appointed by President Bill Clinton as peace broker during the North Korea peace talks of 1994, Carter had some negotiations with Kim Sung. Two, he was also involved in getting Alonzo Gomes released from the North Korea in August 2010. In honor of his years of work in the Carter Center, Jimmy Carter received the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 that year. He had also campaigned very hard in hopes of halting the U.S. President George W. Bush plan of going to war against Iraq. Over his very rich, fulfilling career, he had been bestowed upon several honorary degrees from universities across the world, accolades and medals for his tireless work in promoting freedom and human rights. This is really an honor and a privilege to talk about the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter. I'm Earl Ingram. I'm filling in for Maggie, guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. We'll continue the conversation. A lot more to talk about. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
This holiday season, Bank First is grateful for the trust and support of our community throughout 2024. Together, we've built brighter futures, stronger neighborhoods, and lasting connections. As we look ahead to the new year, we remain dedicated to providing exceptional service and being your partner in success. From all of us at Bank First, we wish you a joyful holiday season and a prosperous 2025. Learn more about how we're here for you at bankfirst.com. That's bankfirst.com. Member FDIC.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Americans remembering the service and legacy of former President Jimmy Carter a day after his death include his niece, Kim Fuller.
That's one of the big legacies he's going to take away from that White House is the fact that he was a man of peace.
Fuller runs the nonprofit Friends of Jimmy Carter. The state funeral for former President Carter is January 9th at National Cathedral in Washington. It will also be a national day of mourning. South Korean officials are working to determine the cause of the deadly explosive jetliner crash Sunday. They've ordered safety inspections of all Boeing 737-800 aircraft operated by the country's airlines. Israel's ambassador to the UN issuing what he calls a final warning to Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi militants to stop their missile attacks on Israel, or they'll get, he says, the same miserable fate as Hamas, Hezbollah, and Syria's Assad. Bird flu detected in the wastewater of Maricopa County, Arizona, including Phoenix and Surprise. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa.